Hi, Dave Emery here. This is For the Record program number 1184. Harvest Time, Part 3. The Oswald Institute of Virology, Part 3. This is being recorded on May 4th of the year 2021. Before I get to the main body of the program itself, several reminders. First of all, there is far too much going on for me to cover in a one-hour weekly program, so I emphatically encourage listeners to this program to go to the top of each program description and or the top of each Food for Thought post. There is a link to click on to subscribe to the comments that are made to these various programs. The vast bulk of those are from our contributing editor named Tara Fractal. That's capital P-T-E. RRAFRACQYL. There are also other expert comments as well. Also at the top of each program description and at the top of each Food for Thought post, there are links for the following. First of all, sister station WFMU is podcasting the For the Record programs. If that is the best way, that is to say, if podcast is the best way for you to consume the programs, then that is the way to go. Go to the top of each program description or the Food for Thought posts, and there is a link through which you can subscribe to the WFMU podcast of For the Record. And also, I emphatically encourage listeners to the program to get the 32-gigabyte flash drive that has all of my life's work, some 41-plus years of broadcasting through For the Record 1156, plus a mini library of old anti-fascist books. There is, once again, a link at the top of each program description and at the top of each Food for Thought post, and you can click on that link and get the 32-gigabyte flash drive with all of my life's work available on it for a tax-deductible contribution of $65 or more. I get no money whatsoever from that flash drive. The title of the program alludes to the harvesting of seeds. That is a metaphor that were planted in some cases before and in many cases during, and in particular during the last stages of or in the immediate aftermath of World War II. A lot of things that are most disturbing and will actually be shocking, I think, to many Americans actually took place, albeit to a large extent sub rosa, and now those seeds have grown, and we have harvested the most unsavory crop. The Oswald Institute of Virology part of the title alludes to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which I believe was set up in order to take the fall for the creation of the coronavirus, although the bulk of the, quote, smart money, unquote, has it that the virus evolved naturally. There is, rather like the JFK assassination, there is a sub Rosa discussion of, well, maybe it did escape from a laboratory. I don't think it escaped from any place. And I think much as Lee Harvey Oswald was painted red, to coin a phrase, and set up to be a communist before being framed for the JFK assassination and then killed before he could defend himself, I think by that same token, the Wuhan Institute of Virology was set up to take the fall for the coronavirus. We have spoken about that in several shows, including For the Record 11, 57, 58, and 59, For the Record 1170, and in our last program, For the Record 1183, among others. We will continue with that. Now, once again, I'm going to present three items of information that I think need to be borne in mind and digested as the main thesis of this program is being presented. The first of these basically alludes to the fact, or talks about the fact, that with contemporary technology, any virus can be synthesized from scratch once the genome has been published and or tweaked, genetically altered from scratch as well. For a layperson's purposes, I guess one could say it is kind of like a 3D printer. But in talking about, well, you know, does the virus have any marks of having been made in the laboratory? It wouldn't, using contemporary technology. Very quickly, excerpting an article from The Guardian of June 19th of 2018. The article is by Ian Sample, capital S-A-M-P-L-E. Synthetic biology raises risk of new bioweapons, U.S. report warns. And it reads in part, excerpting, advances in the area mean that scientists now have the capability to recreate dangerous viruses from scratch, make harmful bacteria more deadly, and modify common microbes so that they churn out lethal toxins once they enter the body. One more time. Advances in the area mean that scientists now have the capability to recreate dangerous viruses from scratch, make harmful bacteria more deadly, and modify common microbes so that they churn out lethal toxins once they enter the body. Still more. In the report, the scientists describe how synthetic biology, which gives researchers precision tools to manipulate living organisms, quote, enhances and expands, unquote, opportunities to create bioweapons. One more time. In the report, the scientists describe how synthetic biology, which gives researchers precision tools to manipulate living organisms, quote, enhances and expands, unquote, opportunities to create bioweapons. And the reference to Imperiali here is to Michael Imperiali, who chaired the committee that drew up this report. He is a professor of microbiology and immunology at the University of Michigan. Today, the genetic code of almost any mammalian virus can be found online and synthesized. Quote, the technology to do this is available now, said Imperiali. It requires some expertise, but it is something that's relatively easy to do, and that is why it tops the list, unquote. One more time. Today, the genetic code of almost any mammalian virus can be found online and synthesized. Quote, the technology to do this is available now, said Imperiali, again quoting, it requires some expertise, but it is something that is relatively easy to do, and that is why it tops the list. And as we proceed with the program, do note that a great many research elements in and through the Wuhan Institute of Virology involve researching bat-borne coronaviruses in China. Many of these projects were funded through the EcoHealth Alliance, whose primary funders are the Pentagon and a State Department subsidiary, the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, which is one of the most common CIA front organizations, and in particular used for some of the nastiest of covert operations, including torture advisory programs in the 1960s and 70s. As you listen to the information we present. Think about the fact that all of these projects involving bat-borne coronaviruses, in particular in China, were being financed by the Pentagon. And this in a time period in which the Pentagon was shifting its focus to, quote, great power rivalry, unquote, i.e. with China and Russia. The ostensible rationalization for these would be humanitarian, and yet with the fact that we just examined in that Ian Sample Guardian article, any virus can be synthesized from scratch once the genome is published, and as a result, Pentagon financing of all of these projects at the Wuhan Institute of Virology and through EcoHealth Alliance, leading to the publication of the genomes of these viruses, would basically be, from an analytical standpoint, rather like stocking a biological warfare weapons magazine with various pieces of bio-ammunition, to coin a term. Now, as to why bat viruses are particularly destructive, and it looks like SARS-CoV-2 was indeed originally a bat virus. And we are going to review again some information from an article we will view at greater length. It is from the Organic Consumers Association of September 24th of 2020. It is by Alexis Baden Mayer, B-A-B-E-N hyphen M-A-Y-E-R. Xi Zheng Li, weaponizing coronaviruses with Pentagon funding at a Chinese military lab. And there is a section here about what makes bat-borne viruses so deadly when in the human body. And she here refers to Xi Zheng Li, a doctor at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, many of whose projects into bat-borne coronaviruses were financed through EcoHealth Alliance, and that have in many cases either Peter Bacek, the head of that organization, or Ralph Barrett from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill as co-funders. And as we will see, many different Pentagon subsidiaries were involved with these programs. Printing to that Organic Consumers article, a Google Scholar search produced two papers that Xi Zheng Li has published that lists BTRA as a funder. That is the Department of Defense's Defense Threat Reduction Agency. It is a Pentagon subsidiary. Continuing, to see how the first paper, Comparative Analysis of Bat Genomes, provides insight into the evolution of flight and immunity, is relevant to biological weaponry. It helps to understand the military's interest in bat immunity. Next, Ms. Alexis Baden-Mayer quotes Thomas Kepler of Boston University. In past programs, we have taken a look at the BSL-4 laboratory at Boston University, which is also used by both the Pentagon and the CIA. Continuing with the article, as Boston University microbiologist Thomas Kepler explained to the Washington Post in 2018, the bat's unique approach to viral infection explains why viruses that transfer from bats to humans are so severe. This was the subject of a paper, quote, "The Egyptian Rosette Genome," that's R-O-U-S-E-T-T-E, "reveals unexpected features of bat antiviral immunity," unquote, that he published with military scientists and, once again, in parenthetically, DTRA funding, i.e. Pentagon funding. Quote, a virus that has co-evolved with the bat's antiviral system is completely out of its element in the human, Kepler said. That is why it is so deadly. The human immune system is overwhelmed by the inflammatory response, unquote. The bat immune system responds very differently from ours to viral infection. Instead of attacking and killing an infected cell, which leads to a cascade of inflammatory responses, the bat immune system can starve the virus by turning down cellular metabolism. The bat origin of SARS-CoV-2 may explain the cytokine storms that are hastening some COVID-19 deaths. According to WebMD, quote, certain kinds of cytokines trigger cell death. When you have many cells doing this at the same time, a lot of tissue can die. In COVID-19, that tissue is mostly in the lung. As the tissue breaks down, the walls of the lung's tiny air sacs become leaky and filled with fluid, causing pneumonia and starving the blood of oxygen, unquote. Kepler says the military is using its experiments on bat immunity to, quote, develop drugs that dampen down inflation and arrest the virus by depriving it of what it needs to grow rather than killing it outright, unquote. But it clearly has another objective as well, to make viruses more deadly by, quote, passaging them, unquote, through bats. And remember a quote that we've used in a number of programs. It comes from the 1988 book Gene Wars by Keith Yamamoto and Charles Piller. And a Jonathan King, an expert on biological weaponry, was quoted back in 1988 as saying that the Pentagon appears to have been, it was at that point engaged in offensive biological warfare programs that were being disguised as being defensive by basically portraying those as vaccine development programs. But again, note that the information presented there as to the difference between the way a bat's immune system combats viruses, it turns down cellular metabolism, thereby starving the virus, unquote, and the way the human immune system, which kills the virus, responds. That is why bat viruses are so deadly to humans. And as we examine the programs undertaken in China at and or through the WIV, yet financed with Pentagon and or USAID funding. The Guardian article about once a mammalian viral genome is published, it can be recreated from scratch or altered. That must be borne in mind, because through these Pentagon-financed programs, the genomes of many bat-borne coronaviruses in and around China have been published, and at that point, it is Katie by the door. There was a cover story in New York Magazine on January 4th of 2021 by Nicholson, N-I-C-H-O-L-S-O-N, Baker. The lab leak hypothesis. For decades, scientists have been hotwiring viruses in hopes of preventing a pandemic, not causing one. But what if? And this is a very long article that goes into the EcoHealth Alliance, and that work doesn't mention the Pentagon funding to any extent. And it focuses on the research useful up to a point, and yet very limited, by Alina Chan. She was able to access emails that showed that Xu Zhengli and others at the Wuhan Institute of Virology were accessing a bat-borne coronavirus very, very close to the SARS-CoV-2 after a time when they claimed they weren't. What isn't mentioned here is what is so important, which is who was financing that research, and that is the Pentagon. Nonetheless, there is near the end of that story a very important element of discussion, and it points out that the SARS-CoV-2 was superbly adapted, as noted in many past broadcasts, to infect the human respiratory system. SARS-CoV-2 seems almost perfectly calibrated to grab and ransack our breathing cells and choke the life out of them. Quote, by the time SARS-CoV-2 was first detected in late 2019. It was already pre-adapted to human transmission, unquote, Alina Chan and her co-authors have written, whereas SARS, when it first appeared in 2003, underwent, quote, numerous adaptive mutations, unquote, before settling down. Perhaps viral nature hit a bullseye of airborne infectivity with almost no mutational drift, no period of accommodation and adjustment, or perhaps some lab worker somewhere, inspired by Barrett's work with human airway tissue, took a spike protein that was specially groomed to colonize and thrive deep in the ciliated mucosal tunnels of our inner core, and cloned it onto some existing viral bat backbone. It could have happened in Wuhan, but because anyone can now, quote, print out, unquote, a fully infectious clone of any sequenced disease, it could have happened at Fort Detrick, or in Texas, or in Italy, or in Rotterdam, or in Wisconsin, or in some other citadel of coronaviral inquiry. Well, yes, indeed. And that is part of the point that we are making. Once the genomes had been published and the Pentagon was heavily financing research through the Wuhan Institute of Virology into bat-borne coronaviruses, once those papers have been published and the projects have reached academic fruition, then those genomes, those viruses can be recreated and or mutated from scratch. So keep that in mind. We're going to continue, pick up from where we left off in our last program with a very important article that we have been accessing for some time. It is from the last American Vagabond blog of January 30th of 2020 by Whitney Webb, W-E-B-B. Bats, gene editing, and bioweapons. Recent DARPA experiments raise concerns amid coronavirus outbreak, unquote. And overlapping with our last program and the topic of discussion, many of these recent research projects into bat-borne coronaviruses in China and through the WIV, many of these recent research projects are related to DARPA's Preventing Emerging Pathogenic Threats, or PREEMPT program, which was officially announced in April of 2018. PREEMPT focuses specifically on animal reservoirs of disease, specifically bats, and DARPA even noted in its press release in the program that it, quote, is aware of biosafety and biosecurity sensitivities that could arise due to the nature of the research. In addition, while both DARPA's PREEMPT program and the Pentagon's open interest in bats as bioweapons were announced in 2018, the U.S. military, specifically the Department of Defense's Cooperative Threat Reduction Program, began funding research involving bats and deadly pathogens, including the coronaviruses MERS and SARS, a year previous to that in 2017. I'm talking about CEPI, a program that has helped us select, among other things, vaccines for the coronavirus. The second pharmaceutical company that was selected by CEPI to develop a vaccine for the new coronavirus is Moderna Incorporated, which will develop a vaccine for the novel coronavirus of concern in collaboration with the U.S. NIH and which will be funded entirely by CEPI. The vaccine in question, as opposed to Inovio's DNA vaccine, will be a messenger RNA or mRNA vaccine. Though different than a DNA vaccine, mRNA vaccines still use genetic material, quote, to direct the body's cells to produce intracellular membrane or selected proteins, or secreted proteins, unquote. Moderna's mRNA treatments, including its mRNA vaccines, were largely developed using a $25 million grant from DARPA and it often touts its strategic alliance with Burpa in press releases. The very companies recently chosen to develop a vaccine to combat the coronavirus outbreak are themselves strategic allies of DARPA. For instance, the top funders of Inovio Pharmaceuticals include both DARPA and the Pentagon's Defense Threat Reduction Agency, or DTRA, and the company has received millions in dollars in grants from DARPA, including a $45 million grant to develop a vaccine for Ebola. Inovio specializes in the creation of DNA immunotherapies and DNA vaccines, which contain genetically engineered DNA that causes the cells of the recipient to produce an antigen that can permanently alter a person's DNA. Inovio previously developed a DNA vaccine for the Zika virus, but to date, no DNA vaccine has been approved for use in humans in the U.S. Inovio was also recently awarded over $8 million from the U.S. military to develop a small portable intradermal device for delivering DNA vaccines jointly developed by Inovio and USAMRIID. And still more about the RNA and DNA vaccines. Not only that, but these DARPA-backed companies are developing controversial DNA and mRNA vaccines for this particular coronavirus strain, a category of vaccine that has never previously been approved for human use in the U.S. Inovio's collaboration with the U.S. military in regards to DNA vaccines is nothing new, as their past efforts to develop a DNA vaccine for both Ebola and Marburg virus were also part of what Inovio's CEO, Dr. Joseph Kim, called its active biodefense program, unquote, that has garnered multiple grants from the Department of Defense, Defense Threat Reduction Agency, or DTRA, National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, or NIAID, and other government agencies. Both DNA and mRNA vaccines involve the introduction of foreign and engineered genetic material into persons' cells, and past studies have found that such vaccines possess significant unpredictability and a number of inherent harmful potential hazards, unquote, and that, quote, there is inadequate knowledge to define either the probability of unintended events or the consequences of genetic modifications, unquote. Nonetheless, the climate of fear surrounding the coronavirus outbreak could be enough for the public and private sector to develop and distribute such controversial treatments due to fear about the epidemic potential of the current outbreak. And I would add that that obviously has happened. One of the things that the Trump administration did, and we'll talk about this from a Washington Monthly article in a future program, but they basically granted a wish to Big Pharma. There it will be no, unless it is reversed by Biden, and I haven't seen that happen yet, but there will be no long-term monitoring of the vaccines for harmful side effects. So if, in fact, there is some long-term harmful side effect, we won't know. And talking about something that we looked at in many programs, which is the fact that in early August of 2019, on the virtual eve of the outbreak of COVID-19, the U.S. Army Research Institute of Infectious Diseases at Fort Detrick, Maryland, was closed down because of various projects involving select agents, unquote, and those projects were basically redacted for purposes of national security. So past the point, we really don't know. Noting this, Whitney Webb writes, the U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases facility at Fort Detrick, Maryland, the U.S. military's lead laboratory for biological defense, unquote, research since the late 1960s, was forced to halt all research it was conducting with a series of deadly pathogens after the CDC found that it lacked, quote, sufficient systems in place to decontaminate wastewater from its highest security labs, and failures of staff to follow safety procedures, among other lapses. The facility contains both Level 3 and Level 4 biosafety labs. While it is unknown if experiments involving coronaviruses were ongoing at the time, USAMRIIB has recently been involved in research born out of the Pentagon's recent concern about the use of bats as bioweapons. And noting the Project for a New American Century, one of whose major fellow travelers was the Secretary of Defense under George W. Bush, and that is Donald Rumsfeld, also the chairman of the board for many years of Gilead Sciences, which developed Remdesivir. In what is arguably the think tank's, meaning the Project for a New American Century, in what is arguably the think tank's most controversial document entitled Rebuilding America's Defenses, unquote, there are a few passages that openly discuss the utility of bioweapons, including the following sentences. Combat likely will take place in new dimensions, in space, cyberspace, and perhaps the world of microbes, advanced forms of biological warfare that can target, unquote, specific genotypes may transform biological warfare from the realm of terror to a politically useful tool. An interesting forecast, that. Now, again, keep in mind the fact, as pointed out in that Guardian article, that once a genome is published, it can then be recreated from scratch or mutated. We're going to briefly recap some sections of an article that was a major focal point of For the Record 1170. It comes from Independent Science News of December 16th of 2020 by Sam Husseini, Husseini. Peter Daszak's EcoHealth Alliance has hidden almost $40 million in Pentagon funding and militarized pandemic science. And it talks about various things that we have spoken of in the past. Something we will not dwell on at any length, but that is that Peter Daszak, who again is a figure of great controversy and suspicion, was selected for positions on both the Lancet and the World Health Organization's committees to research the origins of the virus. And he was selected for the WHO. He was selected for that. Is one of those by none other than Jeffrey Sachs. Jeffrey Sachs, as we have seen, was the fellow who garnered a lot of suspicion as the head of the partly U.S. government-financed Harvard body that advised Boris Yeltsin on the Russian economy and helped to drive the Russian economy back to the Stone Age. Many people said of Jeffrey Sachs, he is an emissary either of Satan or the CIA. And again, I do not believe in the existence of Satan. But now, in the context of EcoHealth Alliance, and as we will see, they have financed a lot of the research through the WIV and along with other Pentagon subsidiary organizations or fronts have helped to finance this many research projects, which resulted in the publication of the genomes of bat-borne coronaviruses. Sam Husseini writes, for much of this year, Daszak's EcoHealth Alliance garnered a great deal of sympathetic media coverage after its $3.7 million five-year NIH grant was prematurely cut when the Trump administration learned that EcoHealth Alliance funded bat coronavirus research at the WIV. The temporary cut was widely depicted in major media as Trump undermining the EcoHealth Alliance's noble fight against pandemics. The termination was reversed by NIH in late August and even up to $7.5 million. But entirely overlooked amid the claims and counterclaims was that far more funding for the EcoHealth Alliance comes from the Pentagon than from the National Institutes of Health, which, by the way, have collaborated with the Pentagon and the CIA in the past. To be strictly fair to the media, Dave Scheck's EcoHealth Alliance obscures its Pentagon funding. On its website, EcoHealth Alliance states that, quote, a copy of the EHA Grant Management Manual is available upon request to the EHA Chief Financial Officer at finance@ecohealthalliance.org. But an email to that address and numerous others, including Peter Bashek's, requesting that manual, as well as other financial information, was not returned. Neither were repeated voicemails. Only buried under their private policy, under a section titled EcoHealth Alliance Policy Regarding Conflict of Interest in Research, unquote, does the EcoHealth Alliance concede that it is the, quote, recipient of various grant awards from federal agencies, including the National Institute of Health, the National Science Foundation, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and the U.S. Agency for International Development, and the Department of Defense, unquote. Even this listing is deceptive. It obscures that its two largest funders are the Pentagon and the State Department, USAID, whereas the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which accounts for a minuscule $74,487, comes before either. Meticulous investigation of U.S. government databases reveals that Pentagon funding for the EcoHealth Alliance from 2013 to 2020 included contracts, grants, and subcontracts was just under $39 million. Most, $34.6 million, was from the Defense Threat Reduction Agency, or DTRA, more about that later, which is a branch of the Department of Defense which states it is tasked to, quote, counter and deter weapons of mass destruction and improvised threat networks, unquote. Most of the remaining money to EcoHealth Alliance was from USAID State Department, comprising at least $64,700,000. These two sources thus total over $103 million, and there are other government agencies involved. Skipping down, the military links of the EcoHealth Alliance are not just limited to money and mindset. One noteworthy policy advisor to the EcoHealth Alliance is David Franz. Franz, F-R-A-N-Z, is former commander of Fort Detrick, which is the principal U.S. government biowarfare biodefense facility. It's also where the U.S. AMRIID is located. One more time. The military links of the EcoHealth Alliance are not limited to money and mindset. One noteworthy policy advisor to the EcoHealth Alliance is David Franz, F-R-A-N-Z. Franz is former commander of Fort Detrick, which is the principal U.S. government biowarfare biodefense facility. And skipping down, David Franz was part of UNSCOM, U-N-S-C-O-M, which inspected Iraq for alleged bioweapons, what were constantly referred to as WMDs, or weapons of mass destruction, by the U.S. government and the media. Franz has been one of those eager to state, at least when discussing alleged Iraqi programs, that, quote, in biology, everything is dual use, the people, the facilities, and the equipment, unquote. Just this year, Franz wrote a piece with former New York Times journalist Judith Miller, whose stories of Iraqi WMDs did much to misinform the U.S. public regarding the case for the 2003 invasion of Iraq. Their joint article, A Biosecurity Failure, America's Key Lab for Fighting Infectious Disease, Has Become a Pentagon Backwater, urges more funding for Fort Detrick. And again, that is worth noting, and for the U.S. AMRIID was closed down by the CDC at the beginning of August of last year. In For the Record 1157, 1158, and 1159, we looked at considerable length at the EcoHealth Alliance's links with Pentagon and finance, and how many of its projects were financed by the Pentagon. We are going to go back into that in this article. This is from the Organic Consumers Association. We excerpted this at the top of the broadcast. This is from the Organic Consumers Association of September 24th of 2020. It's called Xi Zheng Li, Weaponizing Coronaviruses with Pentagon Funding at a Chinese Military Lab by Alexis Baden-Mayer. By the way, it was taken over by the People's Liberation Army on January 26th of 2020, about 2 weeks after the genome of the SARS-CoV-2 was published. We'll talk more about that at the end of this program or in our next broadcast. Now, Alexis Baden-Mayer talks about a letter that was written by Michael Lauer, the deputy director of the National Institutes of Health for Extramural Research, asking a number of pointed questions about research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, or the Oswald Institute of Virology, as I have termed it. And then skipping down, she notes, the letter with these demands didn't go to Xi or WIV. It went to EcoHealth Alliance, a U.S.-based nonprofit funded by the U.S. government, including the U.S. military, to support scientists working in 30 countries. EcoHealth Alliance is listed as a funding source on some of Xi's most controversial papers. And EcoHealth Alliance scientists, including its president Peter Bacek, often co-author with Xi Zheng Li, published papers. Bear in mind that once the genome is published, it can then be synthesized and or modified at will. And again, asking why the Pentagon would be so interested in financing research into bat-borne coronaviruses in China and particularly through the WIV, that is worth keeping in mind, given the record of antipathy of Pentagon, CIA, and the country as a whole to China. More about that in succeeding programs. Continuing with the article, Xi's most infamous EcoHealth Alliance-funded paper is, quote, a SARS-like cluster of circulating bat coronaviruses shows potential for human emergence, unquote. In this controversial gain-of-function research collaboration, with U.S. scientist Ralph Berich of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, Xi and Berich used genetic engineering and synthetic biology to weaponize a bat coronavirus, maximizing its potential human infectivity. Xi's funding for this study came through a USAID Emerging Pandemic Threats Predict grant to EcoHealth Alliance, but the record for this grant appears to have been scrubbed from the U.S. government's database. Question is, if that's the case, why? One more time. Xi's funding for this study came through a USAID Emerging Pandemic Threats Predict grant to EcoHealth Alliance, but the record for this grant appears to have been scrubbed from the U.S. government's database. As the brilliant Berkeley researcher Peter Dale Scott noted, the cover-up obviates the conspiracy. So why would that information be scrubbed from the U.S. government database? One more time. Okay, I should say, continuing, EcoHealth Alliance was a predict partner during the 2009-2014 funding cycle, but there is no record of a USAID grant to EcoHealth Alliance for this time period among the $100.9 million in grants it has received from the U.S. government since 2003. One more time. EcoHealth Alliance was a predict partner during the 2009-2014 funding cycle, but there is no record of a USAID grant to EcoHealth Alliance for this time period among the $100.9 million in grants it has received from the U.S. government since 2003. Xi's contribution to the work she did with Barrett was the, quote, RSSHCO14 CLV sequence that was isolated from Chinese horseshoe bats, unquote. And bear in mind that once that is published, the genome is published, it can be synthesized and or modified from scratch, as we noted in a number of stories, including the June 19th, 2018 Guardian article, and also in the cover story from New York Magazine by Nicholson Baker from January 4th of 2021. The next section of this article: where did RSSHCO14 come from? Xi Zhengli and Peter Daszak announced their discovery of RSSHCO14 in their 2013 paper, quote, Isolation and Characterization of a Bat SARS-like Coronavirus that Uses the ACE2 Receptor, unquote, and stated that it was found during, quote, a 12-month longitudinal survey, April of 2011 to September of 2012, of SLCOVs in a colony of Rhinolophus sinicus at a single location in Kunming, Yunnan Province, China. Rhinolophus sinicus is a bat species, R-H-I-N-O-L-O-P-H-U-S, and then S-I-N-I-C-U-S. What neither Xi Zhengli nor Peter Daszak mention in their paper is that in Kunming during the same period, April and May of 2012, six men were hospitalized after removing bat feces from a cave, and that the WIB was involved in their treatment, testing the patients for serum IgM, the first antibody the body makes when it fights a new infection. One more time. What they don't mention in their paper is that in Kunming during the same period, April and May of 2012, six men were hospitalized after removing bat feces from a cave, and that the WIB was involved in their treatment, testing the patients for serum IgM, the first antibody the body makes when it fights a new infection. And then talking about a version of this event that was told by Xi Zhengli to Scientific American. In 2012, Xi's team had been called in to investigate the virus profile of a mine shaft in Yunnan's mountainous Mojang County, famous for its fermented pu'er tea, where six miners suffered from pneumonia-like diseases and two died. After sampling the cave for a year, the researchers discovered a diverse group of coronaviruses in six bat species. Quote, in many cases, multiple viral strains had infected a single animal, turning it into a flying factory for new viruses, unquote, skipping down. This inconsistency between Xi's story and the master's thesis is hard to reconcile. Considering WIV's involvement in the treatment of the miners, how could Xi have not known that the miners died of a SARS-like virus, not a fungal infection, as Xi told Scientific American? The virus Xi says she found in Mojang was RATG-13. In a paper published on February 3rd of 2020, she announced that RATG-13 was 96% identical to the genomic sequence of the novel coronavirus, eventually named SARS-CoV-2. That's February 3rd of 2020, after the People's Liberation Army took over this laboratory, which was roughly 2 weeks after the publication of the genome of SARS-CoV-2. And I suspect very strongly that some of the prevarication apparently engaged in by Xi Zhengli and the takeover of the laboratory by the PLA were in basically part of a belated awareness that the country was under attack and part of a damage control program. One more time. The virus Xi says she found in Mojang was RATG-13. In the paper published on February 3rd, 2020, she announced that RATG13 was 96% identical to the genomic sequence of the novel coronavirus, eventually named SARS-CoV-2. Here is another troubling inconsistency. According to the Genome Sequence Archive, RATG13 was, quote, extracted from bronchoalveolar lavage fluid, unquote, which suggests that the virus was taken from a sick person, but RATG13 is supposedly an RNA sequence taken from a bat fecal swab. Dejac has his own version of the discovery of RATG13. Dejac claims they took the virus back to the Wuhan Institute of Virology and left it in the freezer for 7 years untouched. But as Boston Magazine reported, this claim was first discovered to be untrue by scientist turned detective, unquote, Alina Chan, who fact-checked him on Twitter. Even though the virus had killed 3 minors, Dejac said it wasn't considered a priority to study at the time. Quote, we were looking for SARS-related viruses, and this one was 20% different. We thought it was interesting, but not high risk, so we didn't do anything about it and put it in the freezer, unquote. He pulled a reporter from Wired magazine. It was only in 2020, he maintained, that they started looking into it once they realized its similarity to COVID-19. But Chan pointed to an online database showing that the WIV had been genetically sequencing the MIND virus in 2017 and 2018, analyzing it in a way that they had done in the past with other viruses in preparation for running experiments with them. Diplomatic yet deadpan, she wrote, I think Dejac was misinformed. Look, this was an open database, and the emails involved were not encrypted, indicating that this was not at the time considered to be a particularly sensitive type of research. I don't think that the information from that Guardian article was being factored in, which is that once the information becomes public, anyone can synthesize the virus, or not anyone, but the virus can then be synthesized by an appropriately capable entity and or modified for biological warfare purposes. Skipping down. Now, who financed the Kunming virus hunt discussed in the account of the miners who were sickened and 2 of whom died from that mine? In addition to funding from China and Australia, the Kunming virus hunt reported in, quote, isolation and characterization of a bat SARS-like coronavirus that uses the ACE2 receptor was supported by, now, note EcoHealth Alliance with its Pentagon and USAID funding, National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases Award Number RAI-079231, a $2.6 million grant to EcoHealth Alliance for, quote, risk of viral emergence from bats, 2008-2013. National Institute of Health and National Science Foundation, quote, Ecology and Evolution of Infectious Diseases, unquote, $3.7 million award from the NIH Fogarty International Center, that's the number of the grant, to EcoHealth Alliance for, quote, the ecology emergence and pandemic potential of Nipah virus in Bangladesh, 2002-2013. A $300,000 award from the NIH Fogarty International Center, supported by international influenza funds from the Office of the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services, to EcoHealth Alliance for, quote, comparative spillover dynamics of avian influenza in endemic countries, 2012-2017. United States Agency for International Development Emerging Pandemic Threats Predict Amount Unknown. And then, who funded Xi's virus hunting in Mojang? Xi's paper, Coexistence of Multiple Coronaviruses in Several Bat Colonies in an Abandoned Mineshaft, unquote, was written by a team of scientists who were all Chinese nationals working at Chinese institutions. Nevertheless, In addition to funding from the Chinese government, the authors acknowledged support from the U.S. National Institute of Allergies and Infectious Disease, a $3.7 million grant to EcoHealth Alliance for, quote, understanding the risk of bat coronavirus emergence 2014 and 2025. The next section, Xi's Pentagon funding. Xi Jinli and her collaborators are also funded by the U.S. military. Peter Daszak's EcoHealth Alliance currently receives more money from the Department of Defense's DTRA for scientific research combating weapons of mass destruction than any other military contractor, $15 million or 25.575% of the $60.2 million dispersed in the last 6 months. A Google Scholar search produced two papers she has published that lists DTRA as a funder. To see how the first paper, Comparative Analysis of Bat Genomes, provides insight into the evolution of flight and immunity, unquote, is relevant to biological weaponry, it helps to understand the military's interest in bat immunity. As Boston University microbiologist Thomas Kepler explained to the Washington Post in 2018, the bat's unique approach to viral infection explains why viruses that transfer from bats to humans are so severe. This was the subject of a paper, The Egyptian Rosette Genome Reveals Unexpected Features of Bat Antiviral Immunity, that he published with military scientists and DTRA funding. Quote, a virus that has co-evolved with the bat's antiviral system is completely out of its element in the human, Kepler said. That is why it is so deadly. The human immune system is overwhelmed by the inflammatory response, unquote. The bat immune system responds very differently from ours to viral infection. Instead of attacking and killing an infected cell, which leads to a cascade of inflammatory responses, the bat immune system can starve the virus by turning down cellular metabolism. The bat origin of SARS-CoV-2 may explain the cytokine storms that are hastening some COVID-19 deaths. According to WebMD, certain kinds of cytokines trigger cell death. When you have many cells doing this at the same time, a lot of tissue can die. In COVID-19, that tissue is mostly in the lung. As the tissue breaks down, the walls of the lungs, tiny air sacs become leaky and fill with fluid, causing pneumonia and starving the blood of oxygen, unquote. Kepler says the military is using its experiments on bat immunity, quote, to develop drugs that dampen down inflation and arrest the virus by depriving it of what it needs to grow rather than trying to kill it outright, unquote. But it clearly has another objective as well, to make viruses more deadly by, quote, passaging them, unquote, through bats. And at the very end of this article, we'll recap more of this. In addition to military funding through DTRA, Xi's paper was co-authored by two U.S. military scientists, Christopher C. Broder and Eric D. Lang of the Uniformed Services of the University of Health Sciences, Department of Microbiology and Immunology. And after the, about roughly 2 weeks after the publication of the genome of the virus, the Wuhan Institute of Virology is China's only biosafety level 4 lab. While it has always been under the control of the Chinese government, since January 26th of 2020, it has been under the command of the People's Liberation Army, specifically its top biological weapons specialist, a major general named Chen Wei. Again, about 2 weeks after the publication of the genome, bear in mind that all of this research, or so much of this research, in which resulted in the publication of the genomes of various bat-borne coronaviruses, was financed by Pentagon, USAID, et al., through EcoHealth Alliance. Bear in mind that David France, former commander of Fort Detrick, is an advisor to EcoHealth Alliance. And bear in mind that we are all out of time. We will resume this in our next program. This concludes For the Record program number 1184, Harvest Time Part 2, the Oswald Institute of Virology Part 2, being recorded on May 4th of 2021. I'm Dave Emery. Have fun.